State majors are okay, as I mentioned before. It is good to be back, fellow council folks, Warren and Travis, Sharon. Okay, starting off, I see we do have everybody in attendance tonight. And I'd like to also, with no objections, I'd like to defer the proclamation that I saw on today's agenda. You all know I've been traveling the last couple weeks, and I have not had time to read this proclamation. I'm not sure where it came from, so I'm going to defer this until I have an opportunity to review it and see what it's all about. All right, with no objections, we're going to defer that.
I'll object that if I can.
No, you can't. Okay, so we're moving on to the invocation. Mr. Ross, would you do us the pleasure?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and a keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Amen. Thank you.
To allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. All right, meeting minutes again with no objection. I'd like to defer the April 20th. Those minutes are not ready.
A move that we accept April 13th and April 27th.
Second. All right, discussion on this? Seeing that there's none, all in favor of approval of the 13th, 27 minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, Robert. All right, meeting agenda. Does anybody have any items to add or remove from this agenda? And that there are not any, I'll make a motion that we approve this agenda. Second. Any discussion on this? Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Right, the agenda passes. All right, public comment. Thank you, Brian. All right, Bob Lunston. And I see we do not have a podium today. No. Bob?
I'll be right here.
If you stand up, please. Stand up. Front and center.
Good thing you are. Can I say why? I'm Bob Lunston. First time stepping in front of the council with two pieces of good news. First piece of good news is especially true for Warren and true for the council and the audience. My mother was supposed to be here tonight. She's 83 years old, and she had to fly back to Newark. She's from Paramus, New Jersey, Warren's hometown. And she was all set with a series of questions to keep Warren busy for the night. And she's the only woman I know who talks more than I do, so that's a good blessing.
Wow.
You guys. The main reason I'm here tonight is last week, and I think I sent the council all an email on it, but I want the public to know, and I want anybody else to follow up on this for me, is that last week there was an issue in Chamblee where a gentleman had a heart attack, and he was revived by a police cruiser who had an AED in the back of his car. Was able to shock the heart, get it back, and the gentleman survived the heart attack. Our police department has done a fabulous job. I'm proud of every time we see a Dunwoody cop car run up and down the street. It makes me feel really good. But what we don't have in those police cars are AEDs. And I want to, if you indulge me for 1 minute, just give you a story of how important these things are. First responders to most heart attacks, to sudden cardiac arrests, are the police departments. Okay? For every minute a patient is down, after the first 2 minutes, every minute you delay, the rate of survivability decreases by 10%. Okay? I know EMS is up in Cobb County who have all the AEDs they can handle, and their complaint is that they never get to use them, because by the time they get to the scene, the patient is usually passed away. I know this from personal experience. I was at a volleyball match one day, and watching some girls from Marist play volleyball, and a woman collapsed on the floor at the end of the day and went 47 minutes without a heartbeat and without respiration. luckily, by the grace of God, two nurses were in there to perform CPR for her. But it took them 47 minutes to get her to the hospital to get her heart started. And there was no AEDs up at Sprayberry High School in the two gymnasiums. That woman was in a coma for 10 days, suffered anoxic brain injury, and left me to raise three little girls who were still in school. The importance of this, to me, is paramount. I mean, there's nothing more important in my life than getting this city to have AEDs in every one of the patrol cars in the city of Dunwoody. I talked to Warren, and Warren graciously sat back and said, don't worry about it, we'll stick it next year's budget. It's a relatively small item. I think we have 40 pieces of rolling stock in the city, about $1,500 max for these things. That's about $50,000 or $60,000 as we go along. For the city of Dunwoody, that is an absolute drop in the bucket. But I don't want to wait till next year's budget. I don't want to wait until the city approves the budget and allocates the funds and do it. I can't think of a better way to kick off this new city than for the citizens of Dunwoody, the businesses of Dunwoody, and I know Joe DeVito is not here, but the Chamber of Commerce, but the business of Dunwoody, and I'll meet with Ken or maybe the volunteer committee, whoever that is, that this city rally behind and set a goal to have 40 defibrillators put into every patrol car and every piece of rolling stock that this city owns. There's nothing more important than that. The good news is, if you would have saw most of you know my wife, if you would have seen her walking here today, she is truly a walking miracle. She walks, she talks, she drives a car to Kroger, she drives to Marist, and this is the woman I was told when she first was sick could have 24-hour care 7 days a week. Okay? I don't want to put anyone ever again through the trauma that my three girls went through watching their mom collapse on a volleyball court in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. Somebody sent me an email, I think Robert, you said, what's the cost of these things? I don't care what the cost of these things, because you save one little leaguer's life who gets hit with a baseball in the chest, one father on the golf course who takes a swing and doesn't get back up, one tennis player who we just lost that Councilman Ross knows. All of these things can be changed and increase the survivability rate of every single person in North DeKalb County and every single person in the city of Dunwoody. If every person in Dunwoody, man, woman, and child, contributed $1, we'd raise $42,000, and I'm sure between the contact we have in the medical field and the contacts Warren has, we could have defibrillators in every police car by the end of this year. And I can't think of a better Christmas or Hanukkah present for the city, for the citizens themselves, to give to the city than AEDs in every single car. And I would be happy, I told Ken, I would be happy to head up that committee. I successfully got 14 defibrillators put into Marist about 6 months after my wife got sick. The initial reaction was the same. Well, $25,000 is a lot of money. It's what it costs Marist to put new varnish on their basketball court.
I think it is done.
Okay. That's fine. But it's important that we do this. Because I'm not listening to you. It's important that we do this, and I'd like the city considered either through a motion or somehow to get that committee started so we can get going and moving on this project. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lundstedt. Mr. Dallas.
Mayor, council members, good to see you again. I'm Bob Dallas, and first I want to say thank you for the good news, putting up a speed sign. Unfortunately, we had the bad news where it was knocked down the next day, and as you know, that's what I do throughout the state, and that is exactly the right thing to do to develop a program like that. So to the chief and to everybody else working with him, Councilmember Hennigan, that was great. Secondly, I understand, hopefully, that we'll be talking a little bit more about the Convention and Visitors Bureau next week at the meeting. I just want to point out a couple things. About 10 minutes ago, I was coming back from Augusta, and on mile marker 183, I saw a DOT sign, and it said the Laurel and Hardy Museum. Now, remember, it's a DOT sign, that means it's a public facility. I kind of chuckled myself, one, because they're funny guys. But number two, Laurel and Hardy Museum, well, it turns out one of those folks is from Harlem, and so they were had a building for them and had a museum. I looked it up on the web, and it's basically a public facility. Another story I want to tell you about is Fanplex. Fanplex, many of you are all familiar with, is right next door to the Braves Stadium, and it too was a public facility that was put in to try to help the community there. Today, of course, Fanplex is closed, and it sits there as an empty shell. A third story I want to tell you about is our PCID. The PCID, when it was established, was done so as a very business-led organization, and today we can look at the PCID and say just how successful it is. So So really, as we talk about the discussion of the issue of CVVs, keep those things in mind, because I think they illustrate clearly not what we as individuals will decide to do or not, but the individuals that follow us, because that's really what it's about. So it's a matter of trust, and I think that those three examples probably illustrate that well. And I want to close with this one thing. Councilmember Shortle, Vice Mayor, I support you and all your efforts, of course. So I have a gift for you. And I just want you to know that courtesy of the Georgia prison system, we have here a cordless car wash in a Target bag. So I want you to know that your car can be kept clean at all times. How much is this worth? I don't know. 5 to 10 years, I'm waiting for it. Thank you all.
Thank you. I will not pay your protest.
I think Mr. Dallas. Joe Hirsch.
Change of the tone here, but Joe Hirsch, Womack Road, and Dunwoody, speaking about the permitting of markets, neither pro or con, and I realize that I'm told there's no vote on it tonight, but the subject is certainly not moot, and I wanted to discuss perhaps the unintended consequence of those who raised objections. And I want to evaluate the arguments by going point by point and explain why the matter truly is still before us. Some opponents, such as the Dunwoody Homeowners Association, Representative Fran Miller, and Planning Commissioner Bob Munson, have been arguing that residential areas were never intended to have for-profit sales on the property, and that probably is true. But as I noted at the public hearing on this matter, there would be no new precedent being set in allowing markets. Recall that this weekend, on residentially zoned Tillingville Road, there will be an annual event called the Israeli Festival at the JCC. It's even advertised with the color ad in the crier, and it's a great event, don't get me wrong. But they will have the SunTrust Bank Market filling your outdoor parking lot with dozens of for-profit vendors. Each entrepreneur, most of them from outside Dunwoody, is probably not donating their profits to charity. So are opponents of for-profit sales in residential neighborhoods saying that this market should be shut down? Maybe they are, but I haven't heard one word from them about this annual market. Some opponents are trying to select what precise items can be sold on markets. At the festival this weekend, they'll be continuing the tradition of selling food, delicious food I should have, jewelry, books, clothing, paintings, and even selling camel rides. It sounds like fun. Some opponents are against markets because they increase traffic in their neighborhoods. At the festival this weekend, it will be huge as always. They will be running shuttle buses every 15 minutes from their college to the JCC. Some opponents say markets should not be permitted open for more than 4 hours. If SunTrust Bank Market operates for 6. As I mentioned before, under federal law, the Religious Land Use Institutionalized Persons Act says it appears we cannot allow the SunTrust Bank Market while forbidding other markets on religious property. Religious institutions' property, such as St. Patrick's, cannot be treated any harsher than anyone else's. In other words, if you permit the SunTrust Bank Market but don't permit other markets on religious property, Dunwoody would seem to be inviting itself open for a federal lawsuit. This is the real slippery slope or the Pandora's box that you should truly be aware of. Lawsuits. If you want to help protect the Israeli festival's market, do it through legislation, or are you going to be an arbitrary city that sometimes turns a blind eye to things, you know, sometimes like some of those officials in DeKalb County government do. I actually do think it's okay to sometimes look the other way on some matters, but be honest about it. Will we be basing our enforcement or decisions upon who the applicant is or how much political clout they have? I hope not, so let's be truthful and equitable. If market opponents think the SunTrust Bank Market this weekend is wrong and should not take place, then they should ask to shut it down. And I won't call them hypocrites. Otherwise, call them what they are. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hirsch. Rick Warrenence.
If you want to speak, do you want to speak out?
Order, please. It's actually Warrenensky, but most people say Warrenensky.
That's it. Rick Warren? Is that okay, Rick? Thank you, Rick.
I think everybody in the council heard from me in an email about a week and a half ago about tractor trailers on Tilly Mill, which are and always have been illegal. And part of the issue is the sign that was removed at the end of the road. And that's the first thing I want to comment on. I think all you guys are doing a fantastic job. I don't even know the other people in Dunwoody yet. I'm sure they're doing a fantastic job, et cetera. We're not talking any large financial or time commitment to put this sign back up. DeKalb's been trying to widen that road since Peachtree Industrial was turned into an expressway. And the sign should be placed down by that former Exxon station, kind of down the bottom of the hill and all. And we, as Dunwoody, can't put it there. But we sure as heck can put it at the city limits, which is about 500 feet down the road, okay? And I'm just begging you guys to put that sign back up. I almost got killed the other night when the tractor-trailer screeched behind me as I pulled in my driveway, and I'm a nerd. I put my signal on 500 feet back, blah, blah, blah. You saw those emails. I'm not going to bore you with them. But the answer I got is it went from you guys to the next guy, I think down to Meehan, who sent that. And again, I don't mean to sound derogatory. Probably doing a fantastic job, and he said he's working with the other municipalities to try to get it done. That doesn't get it, okay? From that process, which came up at the neighborhood watch meeting at the Dunwoody Police, there was other talk about Tilly Mill. And the real reason I'm here tonight is some of my other neighbors started pounding on me, said, "You got a big mouth. Go down and talk to the council." So here I am. The other huge issue, and there were a few emails folded around the last couple days about this, but I'm not sure all of you were copied, and it's about that suicide lane that's near the college. Okay. Now, I just talked to Mr. Dallas from the Department of Highway Safety. You know, there are 1,001 expensive solutions, and there's studies that are needed, et cetera, to do something about that suicide lane. Get the trucks off the road, that solves a lot of the problem. But the sign's got to go back up for that. Billy told me he's going to force it. On that suicide lane, you don't need any public study. You don't need any big money, et cetera, to take that suicide lane. And I don't know if it's appropriate to give a handout. Sure. To these guys. Okay. Do a little research. I'll be happy to be involved in whatever committee and all. Take the suicide lane, block it temporarily just by putting a couple of those orange sawhorses up. While you got the orange sawhorses up there, you can put in what are called box dots. You know the things that look like a soccer ball that sticks halfway out of the ground? They're like 4 to 5 inches tall, so if you run over them, you won't damage your car, you won't wreck your car, you won't kill yourself, but it'll prevent people from speeding down that middle lane. Put those things up and get the traffic back under control. You can then turn it into true left turn lanes where appropriate, block it where appropriate, maybe put some flower concrete medium there 10 years from now. I'm not looking for approval for that. Let's get some of the box dots out there right now. We're probably talking a couple of $1,000. It'll get people out of that center turn lane. And you know, and you can also put them where Charing Place. You're not supposed to make that left on the Tilly Mill anymore. Everybody does. I can swear to it. You know, if you stand out there with a video camera for 15 minutes, you catch 15 people. If you put a line of them down that center median, you're not creating a traffic hazard. The only people you're going to piss off are the people who are going 60 miles an hour in the 30-mile-an-hour zone. You know, please do something about that center turn lane. I got a suggestion there. I'd be happy to work on whatever committee. And please get those signs back up at the end of the Tilly Mill.
Thank you, Mayor. Bob Uzinski.
Good, 2 meetings in a row, you got it right. Came all ready to spread out of your podium, you know, have one. So glad to have the opportunity to speak. I'm here to make some comments on the proposed change to the water and sewer amendment ordinance. So I just want to say a couple of things in favor of it. I did bring a couple of handouts here just in case you haven't seen some of the pictures that I had set in the past. The planning session that I came to a couple of weeks ago, I remember somebody expressed a concern about if you make a code change and talk about people having leaks, where does that stop? Or what can you tell people how long they can take a shower? You know, what does it really lead to? And the first comment I'd like to make on that is that first off, the county's already kind of crossed that line, right? You have to have a low-flow toilet in your house in the county before you can even sell your house. They're already telling you what kind of fixtures to have inside the house. But the second thing is that the leak, the specific situation that led to this ordinance change that's in front of you today, isn't like that. It's actually a service line that's between the house and the garage. So we're not talking about going in somebody's house and looking to see if their faucet's dripping or their toilet's got a little leak in it or something like that. This is actually an inch and a half service line underground between two buildings. It's leaking out onto the street. Now, the path that it seems to be taking to get out on the street goes through my yard, which is one of the reasons that I'm concerned about it. The other thing, too, is, again, when I talk about a little drippy faucet here, I did a measurement of the trap of the water flow that comes out of the pipe that goes onto the street. I'm not scientific, and I'm sure I didn't catch it all, but I'd say the conservative estimate, we're talking about 2,700 gallons a month going down the street. Now, I don't know if after the last planning session any of you went to look at your water bills when you went home, but I'm one person in my household. I use about 2,400 gallons a month. So there's what I use in a month, plus some, and I bet I'm off by about 25% just going down the street. So that's what we're talking about. We're not really talking about a little drip, 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 somebody sees a little something over there and wants to get back at a neighbor, any kind of situation like that. I did bring a couple of pictures. I don't have great Photoshop skills, but this one, if you look at it closely, you're going to have to pass along. It shows where the curb is, where the drain comes out of the street. What I want you to see here is the water, how much water is actually coming right out of there. Right out of the street, you can see puddles, probably half inch, an inch deep in certain spots to get down the street. This picture was taken in the winter, and you see that you're looking down the street from where the leak starts. That little white stripe there, that's an ice patch going down the street in the gutter. Now, one of my neighbors slipped and fell on it, hurt his knee. Man, he's not the kind of guy that wants to go and bother the neighbor and sue him about it. But the point is, it's a safety hazard. Somebody's already gotten injured, and you can see how much ice is created as you look at this picture. So the other concern, of course, is a homeowner and property values. I know people come in and talk about property values and what the city can do to try to maintain those. I contend that if I went to sell my house, which I'm not trying to do, but if I did, and somebody saw water coming out of my drain out of the onto the street, they would want me to fix something. It probably would cost me to sell my house. That, along with potential erosion damage, and my neighbor where the leak is happening, there's actually a couple of sinkholes. They're small sinkholes, but sinkholes nevertheless that are created, I believe, by erosion from this. So a lot of potential damage down the road here. I don't want to be in a situation where there's a litigation has to happen and have to go and everybody has to report. So. All right, so anyway, so I'm in favor of it. I hope you vote for it tonight. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. All right, Mayor and Council comments. Mr. Linnea, yes, Robert.
I just want to welcome Adrienne back and tell her how much we have missed her and how much we are delighted that she's feeling better.
Thank you for the chicken soup.
Well,
it's supposed to cure everything. It's the genuine, it's the real deal.
It was.
I want to thank everybody for their prayers and their phone calls and their emails, and it's been wonderful to see you. It's just been wonderful. Everybody's been so wonderful. I'm very humbled by the outpouring of love. I do want to let you know I have one more surgery to go. I have a big one this Friday, and then might be gone, I think, for two more weeks, and then hopefully
I'll
be back for good. So, thank you,
everybody. Thank you, Adrienne. Great to see you back in that chair.
Just want to have an observation, basically, that the great job the police department's doing. I want to recognize one person there. I think Officer Maldonado's your first guy to get a hat trick. Is that right, Chief? Something you would never would have had with the cab, I think, is proactive patrolling. Notice something wrong. Investigated, made 3 felony arrests off that one stop, took guys off, 3 people off the street, recovered a lot of stolen merchandise, and closed a lot of cases that detectives were working on. So just want to say, hey, Sister Maldonado is just a good representative of the WPD, and 3 felonies in one stop. It's
good. Thank you very much for pointing that out, Tom. And I'll also throw in another tidbit on our police force, and I often say, I think most of the community is behind this. When we still see an officer, it's like a little boy getting all excited. Oh, my God. A policeman. So I don't expect that to
apply. I'm hoping not behind you with
a... Hey, Chief. I'm as open as anybody else. If I deserve to get pulled over by goodness, try to catch me. But I would like to point out, in all seriousness, as I flew back from New York Wednesday night, driving home about 11:45 at night, and not a lot of people out on the road, but as I pulled into a side neighborhood of mine to get to my house, I saw side lights coming up the street, and the adjoining street, and we hit almost head on, and it was one of our officers. So I thought, oh my goodness. You know, what the heck's going on? A bad guy's loose in the hood here. So I proceeded on to my house, stopped at the end of my driveway, and thought he might pass my house eventually, which he did. And as I stopped him and spoke to him, I asked, you know, hey, what's happening? You know, great to see you out here. And he said, just routine patrol. So I got to tell you, it's unbelievable that not only do we have fine officers, men and women on our streets, but they're proactively going through neighborhoods
just looking and making sure that we're safe. And that's just a shocking event to see. I know it wasn't staged because nobody knew I was getting home at 11:30 at night. So I wrote that one off. But again, hats off to Chief yourself and all our fine men and women. So with that, we will move on. Did you have something, Mr. Owens?
Yeah, I'd just like to thank all the councilmen that participated in Monsignor Kiernan's 60th anniversary last weekend. We presented Monsignor Citizen of the Day, recognizing that it's Monsignor Day on the 2nd of May. He was also presented the first key to the city of Dunwoody, which I was very proud to be able to present that to him since he's been my pastor for the last 24 plus years, and I've known the man for over 35 years. But it was a big event for him today. I was on at a charity golf event today and for All Saints, and Monsignor was there in the golf course as he always is, and he told me to express to you tonight how thankful he is of the recognition.
All right, thank you, Mr. Ross. Thank you, Jerry, for getting that door for us. And we will move on to the second reading. Jerry, you can do that honor.
Consent agenda.
We do not have a consent agenda. Or is this on the consent agenda? I'm sorry.
An ordinance amending Chapter 25 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances requiring property owners to repair their leaks.
Okay, let me back up a second. Did I miss something?
Nope, you're right.
All right, we're taking piece by piece, not all on it.
No. Okay.
All right, thank you, Karen, for that. Staff, is there any comment on this?
I move we approve.
All right, there's a motion to approve the Chapter 25.
The entire consent agenda.
Yeah, right.
I-1, 2, and 3.
Okay, let me get a point of clarification here again. On the consent agenda, I don't think we consented to the consent agenda, or did I miss that? Roland, could you clarify?
My understanding is that a few times we need to modify the consent agenda. First, we need to approve the agenda.
Okay.
And the second is when you get to item I. So the proper motion from council should be approval of items I-1 through 3 of the consent agenda. And then members can take items off of the consent agenda and deal with them specifically. But once you make a motion to approve the consent agenda, all three items are assumed as passed.
Okay, let me get a thanks for that. Brian, can you clarify then for the nominees for the sustainability and the comprehensive plan, when does that get put into the record if we approve this consent agenda?
They would be approved right now.
Okay.
The appointments are in the book, are in the agenda. For the sustainability and the comprehensive review. That should be taken off.
Okay, well I'm gonna move forward and treat all of this not as it's on a consent agenda, but I'd like to tackle this one at a time. So did we have a second on the motion to adopt ordinance or Chapter 25? Is that correct on that motion, Robert? Did you have that?
I will move that.
All right.
I will second that.
All right. Not to put words in your mouth, Robert.
That's right.
All right. Any discussion on this? All right. Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, now we're moving on to the appointment of the Sustainability Commission. Let me read you quickly, as in your workbooks here. Nothing has changed. That is correct. I'd like to make a motion that we appoint the Sustainability Committee as you see it there in your workbook.
I'll second.
Any discussion on that? That was a second by Mr. Shortle. Any discussion on that? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, now we're moving on to the whole reason I did this was the Comprehensive Plan Steering Committee. And let me read you the nominations as they stand as of 2 minutes ago. And I will work my way down. As all of you know, we put out a request for some nominations, and this is what we have back from Councilman Wittenstein. It's Patty Baker, Councilman Ross, Queenie Ross, and Bill Grant from Dr. Bonzer. We have Bill Grant again, and Al Albertini. We have Councilman Taylor, Ray Dankberg, Barbara Kohler, and Doug Thompson, Councilman Hennigan, Renate Harad, Councilman Shortle, Robert Miller, and then we have myself. I've offered up one seat to the PCID, which is Yvonne Williams, and the Planning Commission asked for 2 seats, which I gave them. They came back with the 2 members from their board that they elected, and that would be Bob Lunston and Bill Grossman.
Did you get all of that? Anybody? Sharon, I guess I should be looking at you.
No. Well, that's okay. I've got a copy for that.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
All right, so
I move we accept the nominees that you put forward as well.
Okay. I will second that. Discussion on that. Yes, Dave.
Yes. I've got a couple things.
Yes.
Number one, I've got 3 names that are down here.
Yes.
Okay. Does that just change? Or they have 2
No.
Today?
No.
That's very good. I thought one of the people who
I had 4 originally, Steve Freeberg.
Okay. My second question.
Yes.
For all these residents who have the same.
No. Bill Grant lives in the panhandle of Seeing Springs. He has a business here, and Yvonne Williams does not live in the
building. Okay. Anyone else?
Those are the only ones I'm aware of. Anybody else?
Where no. Okay, my third question, and I've already talked to you earlier on this, is that the perception of having a spouse of one of us on the committee, and this is not shot in whatever here, so I'll take it that way, but it's the perception, and I just think that's something that we have to discuss here as a concept. How does that look in the perception? It's not a question of expertise, quality, any of those things. It's just a question of perception to the public.
All right. If I want to address that, certainly will. I think it's a very valid concern. On the flip side, being that this is a advisory committee, and given I think the background qualifications, I personally don't see any conflict. But I think it is a valid question. Anybody else have any discussion on that? Yes.
Yes, I just have a question. Since I don't have a confirmation from my nominee,
yes.
Is there going to be an issue if we end up changing?
Yeah, let me get clarification. Brian, if Councilwoman Bonzer's nomination is not able to fulfill his obligations, what's the process? Because
he can turn down the nomination, in which case it would create a vacancy that would need to be filled.
Okay, great. Thanks.
How about Mr. Mayor?
Yeah.
Are any of these nominees currently a non-Dunwoody resident?
Is this Groundhog Day? Yes, there are 2. It's Mr. Grant and Miss Yvonne Williams are the 2 that are not ready.
Okay. Are you going to make the stipulation?
If they're non-residents, what was the issue?
You currently have an ordinance that on such advisory committees that they all have to be Dunwoody residents, so to appoint them, you would have to appoint them conditionally on the passage of an amendment to the ordinance, Chapter 2, and they could become effective for the non-residents upon the adoption of the amendment.
Okay.
If that doesn't get amended, then you'll have to become unfilled.
Okay. So I'll start off. I don't think you have a motion on the floor, so I'll go ahead and throw it on the floor. I'd like to make a motion as stated Brian, could you repeat that to Sharon so she gets it in the record?
The non-residents on the list, their appointments will be conditioned upon the passage by the council of an amendment to Chapter 2 to allow non-residents to serve on such advisory committees.
Okay. So that will be an amendment.
We have a first read tonight.
Okay. Okay, so just a point of clarification back to you, Brian, would be there's a motion on the floor to approve. This is during the discussion. And I want to make a motion to amend to state differently.
Yes.
Proper order would be what?
Okay, so now you're going to make a motion to amend.
Does it need to be seconded first?
Has the previous motion seconded?
Yeah.
Yeah, then they can make a motion to amend and get that seconded.
Okay, which I did.
Can we appoint these folks as ex officio tonight and then make them full members when they come on board?
Yes,
that's what we're doing.
Okay, ex officio.
Will you second my... Okay, I've got a second. Discussion on that? Okay, no discussion.
I can see the PCID because they're one of the big players here, but I think to open up committees to non-residents other than that, I think we're probably stretching the, unless you want to say something to the fact that they are residents or business.
Conduct business, our business owners that have a principal
place of business within the city.
Okay, any other discussion on my motion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, none opposed. So we're back to the amended, Danny, I guess that would be his amended motion, is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
Motion has amended.
Motion has amended. Thank you, Mr. Short. All right, we had a second.
We're still on the second. We're making an amendment. Don't
we have
public
comment?
Yes, you do.
Not for a couple weeks. Thank
you. Let me
That is funny. No other rules you have to be done. Okay, so we will have public comment on my amendment. Anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this, please make your way to the center aisle. Seeing that there's none, anybody that wishes to speak in opposition, please make your way to the center aisle. All right, seeing that there's... Yes, sir.
Sorry, Mayor.
Sorry. Please state your
name. My name is Brian Sims from Fontainebleau. I don't have a specific problem necessarily with any of these people. The names sound very familiar, and it sounds like some of these people are already on one or more committees with the passports for, so I would just encourage the mayor and council to continue to open the sphere of influence and ideas to as many people in the city as possible, continuing and going forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Van. Okay, any other discussion on this?
I don't know if you'd ask, are there any unintended consequences that we're not considering?
All right, since
Jennifer,
we are in discussion.
Maybe Jennifer?
Yeah, Jennifer, if you'd like to speak to any of our discussion, I'd be happy to have you.
The unintended consequences of naming this particular group of people to this committee?
Yeah, the unintended consequences of making changes, making an amendment to allow non-Dunwoody residents to sit on the committee.
I don't foresee any significant consequences. It's still up to this mayor and council to place people on that board. I assume you would place appropriate people on that board given the committee's charge, and for the most part, committees are advisory only.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussions?
Yes, I just, if you have business here, your main office of business is here, or you live here, I can understand that. Just open it up to someone who doesn't have a business here, or is not a resident, which we don't have, just I think it's maybe going too far.
Okay.
is a concern on this list. Is there anybody that falls in that category?
Well, what we're making a motion here, though, well, if I can ask Brian, I think what we're doing with this motion, we're opening on every committee.
Just a clarification, we'll need to bring up at another meeting what we want the wording to be to change what it is right now. Right now it just reads, you have to be a resident, so we'll change the wording to read, you have to be a resident and or a business owner, whatever the appropriate language may be. So that's almost a separate issue. If that doesn't pass, then these two nominees will have to be replaced.
Okay. I'm, you know, as long as they have to and or be a business owner, I'm fully in agreement with that.
Okay. And that will be next meeting. We'll take up that.
It's on the agenda as item.
First read, second read next week. Right. 2 weeks from today.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. Any other discussion on that? Okay. Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please go aye.
Aye.
Opposed. If I may?
Yes.
Point of order for the agenda. I apologize. It was very confusing on the agenda. When you pointed the Sustainability Committee, on the back side of that page was a resolution that would effectively increase the number of folks on the Sustainability Committee. You previously passed a resolution limiting it to 12 members. The resolution you have on the agenda is to 14, but it was not specifically identified on the agenda as the passage of a resolution. And we respectfully request that y'all pass that resolution tonight. So increase the size of that board, so to accommodate 14 members, you're 14.
Okay, yes, Robert.
I don't think we can adjust the agenda at this time, but we...
Actually, you can by a 2/3 vote.
All right. Then I'll move that we adjust the agenda.
I will second you, Robert.
And that we add a new item. Let's see, this is a new item, so it has to go under new business. Let's make this L3. So that we add a resolution to amend the number of members to the Sustainability Commission as a new item L3.
Okay, I will second you. Any discussion on that? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we are amended with an L3. And on to... Everybody on the back now, right?
Yep, J1.
Okay, this is also a little bit out of order. So I'm going to make it in order. I'm going to make a motion to open, basically, let me clarify what we're going to do, folks. I'm going to make a motion to open the public hearing. We'll have our public hearing. We'll close it. Then we'll have the second read, and then we will vote. Does that sound like proper order, Council?
Proper order.
Okay. So make a motion that we open the public hearing on amending Chapter 14.
Second.
Okay, discussion on that? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, we are open in our public hearing. And Jennifer, do you have something for us, or does somebody?
Thank you. This is an item that's appeared before Council on a couple different occasions. This is an amendment to Chapter 14, the Land Development and Environmental Protections, specifically the stream buffer section, which does require a public hearing before you amend the code. The language presented to you tonight would alter the ability to ask for a variance to the full stream buffer currently required by our code, and those variance requests would be heard by the Board of Appeals.
Thank you. Any questions for Jennifer?
Yes, thank you. Jennifer, that's to within 25 feet, correct?
Correct.
So it's not all the way
up. Right. We don't have jurisdiction until 25 or
75 feet. As it currently stands, it's 50 feet, correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Any other questions for Jennifer?
Thank you, Jennifer.
All right. I'm going to open the public comment. Anybody that wishes to speak in favor of this ordinance, if you would please make your way to the pretend podium up front.
Hi, my name is Peggy Kernan, and I'm in favor of this change to the ordinance. The way it's written currently now, I think there might be some unintended consequences This is only allowing the zoning concerning board to hear variance applications to be within 25 feet of the stream. They can still say no. So I am in favor of this change.
Thank you, Peggy. Any others that wish to speak in favor?
Hello, my name is Brian Sims. I don't know whether it's state law or what about 75 feet, but if we currently have it at 50 feet, I would suggest or maybe toss out an idea to keep it at 50 feet and then have the Board of Appeals be able to drop it to 25 feet. It seems that, if that's exactly what's going on, then I withdraw my...
Thank you, Mr. Sims. Any others that wish to speak in favor? All right, seeing that there's none, any opposition, please make your way to the imaginary podium. All right, there are none. So I'm going to...
do I need a second to close this public hearing?
You can do it without objection.
I'm going to close this without objection. Thank you. All right. Was that an objection, Mr. Chorrell?
No, it was just...
All right, so now we're we're going on to the second read, Sharon, if you're following us.
In order to amending Chapter 14 of the City of Dunwoody Code of Ordinances by making it consistent with latest state requirements.
Thank you.
I move that we accept the ordinance change as read.
I second that.
Mr. Ross seconded, and any discussion?
I think this is a very good change. I think it did have some unintended consequences. I know two of my citizens in District 2 wrote to me about this, and they bought two lots back 20 or 30 years ago with the hopes of building on a second lot at some point in time, and this way it was written prohibited them from doing so. And I think this is a good thing to do because we don't want to punish people for making good investments.
Thank you, Mr. Roth. Any other discussion on it?
No, I think the great thing about it, it still goes to the Board of Zoning Appeals. You know, so there still is some controls there. But there are some people, just like Danny just said, there's people in my district that have got the same problem, and it creates a hazard to the house right now.
Thank you. Any other discussion? All right, seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, the ordinance passes. All right, now we're on